Praise God. Well, we're going over this morning in our teaching again, seated in heavenly places. I did some introduction things last week in starting out into this, and I just want to be led by the Holy Spirit. One of the things that the Spirit of God has reminded me of this week is an area that really has become lost in the church world as a whole. And, you know, and I think somewhat sometimes because we arrive at a place where, you know, we've gained knowledge in the Word of God, we learn things, but after a while we're just sort of living off the knowledge of what we have and really not really flow. We lose that flow of spiritual walk. We can lose that easily. But one of the things that we need to, the Holy Spirit has been emphasizing me to, is the great need that we have really to listen to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit truly is the revealer of Jesus. He is the one who brings revelation. Without Him, you don't have revelation. And we're going to look at that because we're talking about seated in heavenly places. Paul, we talked last week and read in Ephesians, the third chapter, where the Apostle Paul talked about the fact of, you know, the revelation that he had from the Word in the third chapter. He spoke about it in verse 3. I just want to read it to you. It said, "How that by revelation he," speaking of God, "made known to me the mysteries, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." See, he said, I got this by revelation. You need to understand this. The Word of God is not an intellectual thing where you sit down and because you're smart, because you can read words and you know definitions, that now you can understand the revelation. That is not true. That is not truth. That is not Bible. That's man's way. One of the things we... Look, I'm not against education. Thank God. I'm glad I learned to read and I learned to do things. But that's not the way the Bible operates. And that's why many times, you know, it's just sort of like Mike said, you know, about his granddaughter. She turns around. Well, she speaks of revelation. She spoke of revelation. Well, you know, Mike could quote a lot more of the Bible than she could, I'm sure. But at a time of need, she heard something from her spirit. She spoke by revelation. It was a revelation that she had. You know, many times I run into Christians. Most Christians, many times, never need any counseling. We have counselors, and basically most counselors, a good counselor is only reminding most people what they already know, they got to do it. What they're doing, their mind gets so cluttered with everything else under the sun, they forget the revelation that they have. They can't hear. Revelation is something that's on the inside. It is not necessarily in your head at all. Because you can block revelation from dawning on your mind because you're thinking too much. You have too much intellect involved in it. You know, I've been there, folks. Been there numbers of times where intellect gets involved. You know, sometimes just going to bed and laying there in the bed, just being quiet for a while before I go to sleep, it's amazing how many times I think about stuff like, you know, I know what to do about that. I've always known. You know, it's there. But we live a noisy life and a busy life. That's one thing that we got to stop, and you need to quit and get these words out of your mouth. And out of your mouth, I mean, it's not saying, stop all this busy talk. I'm just so busy. Well, that's your confession, and that's what you're going to have. The problem right now in America, the church has failed greatly because the church became busy and quit listening to God. If you're too busy, that is your fault. Don't blame somebody else. See, this is, we get this. I'm not saying this, you know, getting on anybody. I'm just telling you. We're confessing things and saying things and having what we say and then blaming employers and this person and that person and the other. Hold it. We're saying the stuff. We're talking it. We're the one that's bringing it to life. And we're the one, and we have to stop this and stop the busyness. You know, it's amazing to me because about 10 years ago, the Lord spoke to me about quit being so busy. He spoke to me. He said, I don't want you doing more. I want you doing less. You know what? And I found this out. When I did less, I got more accomplished. Well, I did less. What he's trying to get me was to get me out of my thinking and my doing stuff. I was so busy, you know, you get over and you really, you're missing a lot of things. And we don't want to miss it. There's a revelation that God wants to bring to us. We talked about last week, too, and I brought in and dealing with the areas about, you know, we deal with the areas of the gospel, about what God did through Jesus Christ, and really dealing with the areas of sin, where God, Jesus died on the cross. When he died on the cross, he dealt with sin of all men, not just for when you get saved. And we can't go back and teach all about it, but we have the gospel of reconciliation. We're to tell people that God's not holding sin against them anymore. And really, you need to understand this about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, would do this. He takes what belongs to him and reveals it to you. The Holy Spirit does not necessarily reveal to you the things you believe. The Holy Spirit brings revelation on what God believes and what God said. You can have your beliefs and your ways of thinking, and the Holy Spirit won't even get involved at all. The Holy Spirit is the revealer of the Word of God. He's not the revealer of my thoughts or idea of what I think the Word says. I've had my thoughts and ideas of what the Word says on different occasions, and I've had the Lord correct me and take me over and show me a Scripture, and I sit there and think, you know, I always believed it was this way, but the Scripture don't say that. It wasn't until I got a revelation. I'm walking around with a belief, but the Holy Spirit can't reinforce that belief for me just because I believe it. He can't get behind me to bring things to pass just because I believe it a certain way. He gets behind the Word of God. The Holy Spirit's the magnifier of Jesus Christ. He's the revealer of Jesus. Paul comes along, and Paul comes with a revelation of really of what the new birth did for the church. Paul's revelation. And it's interesting because Peter turned around and wrote and says, Paul says things that are hard to understand, and I can tell you why. Peter was much more versed in the areas, lots of times, I think from the standpoint of legalistic about things, about what the Word says. But Paul, he was too, but Paul got a revelation. Paul's revelation was hard to understand compared to what men had been taught about God. And I found that's just like it is today. Today, dealing in the church world, when you start bringing out the revelation of God, it is hard for people to grab a hold of because most Christians aren't believing what the Bible says and swear they are. It's just like last week. I proved in Scripture that most of the time you never hear the true gospel preached. You don't hear the true gospel preached. We're always trying to get, you know, get sinners to come over here and admit that Jesus didn't die for them yet. That God's still holding sin against him, and if you don't ask him to forgive you, you can't get saved. Yet that's what's being preached. And then we wonder why that we see people say, well, why do people don't want to get to saved today? Well, number one, the Holy Spirit can't get behind our idea of the gospel. When we preach our gospel, he can't say, oh yeah. The Holy Spirit doesn't verify what you believe. He verifies what Jesus believes. He verifies the Word, and so we need to get that. That has to be brought back to the church. You know, when I came into the kingdom, it seemed I thought everybody knew that because that's how they were preaching. It's about the Word, making sure you're in line with the Word, making sure that your believing was in line with Scripture. Oh, man, that's all they did. My God, if you weren't in line with the Word, you said something outside the Word, they'd rebuke you. Man, the church needs rebuked today a bunch. Major ministers need rebuked for the stuff they preach that is not in line with the Word. It's not in line with the Bible. I remember seeing one time there's a gang of ministers on this one minister show. I mean, there was like 10 big names there. I mean, it's 10 big name guys. And they're all there. And the guy whose show he had there, and this big name guy, huge ministry, stands up and he had this thing in front of him. There was a pallet, literally a wooden pallet. And it was stacked with letters from people and prayer requests. It was literally, I mean, a pallet. I mean, how many pieces of paper you could get on a prayer request. But anyhow, this guy got up and he said, we're going to pray for you and the devil will never bother you again. And I thought, he's going to kill him? Well, see, he had a doctrine. And I thought, and all these big name ministers got together and stood over there to pray. And I thought, you'd never got me to get in the crowd. I don't care if it embarrassed him on TV. I would have told him, I can't join in with you with that because that's not true. And you're wasting a prayer making people believe. And what happens, that guy out there, he put his thing in there and got prayed for, and now the devil bugs him again. Well, I thought they prayed. Well, that didn't work for me. They perpetrate a lie. And see, this is the kind of things that we have going on out here because the Word's not being verified, and we need the Word verified. We need, again, the revelation of Jesus Christ. We're singing about that stuff, but I'm going to tell you what, the church desperately today needs the revelation of Jesus Christ. Desperate. It is desperate in its need for the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, going back over these things, I've known these things in the past, but I'll tell you what, just going back and studying the things that I've been studying, and I'm thinking, you know, I haven't been letting this revelation really rise in me like it should. I haven't kept it like I should. You know, I know that it's true, and I know that it's inside of me, but I'll tell you, you know, you get over and you just, you know, get used to doing things. See, man, this stuff isn't nice stuff said. It is the truth, and it is the truth that makes us free. It's not our idea of the truth. It's the truth. I don't know. I can't know Christianity without the Holy Ghost. I can't know it without it. Now I want us just to go over because you have Paul, and we're going to be doing things in the book of Ephesians, because the book of Ephesians is a remarkable revelation by God to the church. It's a remarkable revelation. And it's written, I can see why when Peter must have read the book of Revelations when he said, some things Paul said are hard to understand. He must have read this. But I want to go over, we want to look at something we've looked at numbers of times, but I want to go back there because there's certain things that the Holy Spirit wants to emphasize. In the Ephesians, the first chapter, now we had read in the third chapter because over in the third chapter, Paul wrote about the revelation. He wrote about this stuff I'm doing. This came by revelation. This was not my idea. This was not my gospel. This isn't something I studied out and figured out. Now, we know that Paul did study writings and things because we have where Paul said, told them to come and bring him his coat and bring the parchments along and stuff and things, the letters that were written, because he wanted to be able to read those. So we know. Paul told Timothy to study or to be diligent to show himself approved unto God. So we do study things. But we need to be very careful we don't come up with our intellectual ideas on things. Well, I remember I used to sit down and read and study sometimes and get into myself where I'm trying to figure things out. You get myself into more confusion than I would anything. And I learned to listen on the inside of me. I don't care what I read in Scripture, and I don't care how it seems to me what it says. If there's something on the inside of me don't hit right, I know there's something I don't know about this. There's a revelation I don't have. So you got to learn to listen on the inside. You know, it's amazing. Now, this goes back about 15 years or more ago. The Lord asked me one time, and said to me, why do you believe what you believe? And it always amazed me about God. He'll speak a certain thing. He said, why do you believe what you believe? And I don't know why. I automatically knew. He wanted me to go back over the foundations of what I believe and go back over them. He wanted me to make sure that I was believing according to Scripture. Well, I went back and started doing a study on foundational things. And I started going back over them. And I was totally shocked by things that the Scripture said it's so plain, it's written right there, that I had never heard anybody preach. That don't mean nobody else ever knew it. The people I've ever been around and listened to never preached it, and they preached it wrong when they did. And I was shocked. I thought, you know, there's stuff, we just go on, and sometimes we take what somebody said because they preached it, seemed nice to what they're saying, but we didn't, like with me, I thought, you know, if I listened on the inside, I didn't know there was something there that I wasn't getting a hold of. Instead, I'm listening with my head, going along with what's going on. Yeah, this is right. And I'm thinking, my words, the Bible says this, and they're preaching the opposite of it. They're saying it says something else. And this is what the Scripture says. Well, I wasn't no better than they were because I bought it. I didn't even ask it. I didn't even go back and look and sit down. And I always thought about it. Brother Hagin said, you don't take stuff because I said it. You go to the Bible and read it for yourself and make sure it says it. And that's what you have to do. Hallelujah. Because Brother Hagin used to say, I can miss it. Is there anybody here and you never missed it? If you didn't, we'll have an altar call for liars and get you back again with God. We miss it. And so, and this is not condemnation, but this is why we always go back and make sure that we're following the truth and walking and living in the truth. Now, in Ephesians, the first chapter, there's a prayer there that Paul prays, but I want you to see some things. I want to emphasize some things because the revelation that God wants to bring out again to the church, especially if we want to see a change in our nation, we need to bring these revelations back out the church. Now, in the 15th verse, it says, "Therefore, he said, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love of the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." Did you hear what he said? Did he say, well, give you, make you smart? Make you? He said, what you need. Now, look, Paul's telling this church what they need. Now, I would have liked to go on back, but the Lord told me not to. I'd like to went back to the beginning of the first chapter because there's wonderful things said in the beginning of the first chapter concerning the church and who we are as Christians and what God did for us. There's wonderful things. But Paul comes along and says, you know what? You guys need a revelation. He talked like they didn't necessarily have this spirit. There are many Christians, and most Christians do not have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Most Christians will listen to what somebody else says the Bible says. They will read somebody's book of whatever says, and they never find out. They have no need for a spirit of wisdom or revelation knowledge of him because they just take what comes along. Paul told them that they needed, in other words, where Paul's going to take these people, where Paul's going to lead them to, only God, the Holy Spirit, can lead you to this place, can only bring this as a revelation to you. It is required. God's going to have to do it. Why? Because it makes no sense naturally. Mental intellect is not going to get you there. This isn't wishful thinking, happy thinking. Think a good thought, you know. Talk positive. It's none of that. Paul's going to show that he's praying that these guys would get a revelation. He got a revelation. He said in the third chapter, I got the revelation. I'm telling you about the revelation. And you got to get it the same way I get it, by the Holy Spirit. You got to get it the same way. It isn't given to you by me just talking. It is given by the Holy Spirit. So, where is the Holy Spirit in us Christians? He's on the inside. He's in there in communion with our spirit. So, in other words, for me to get this thing, I'm going to have to be able to look on the inside. I'm going to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That is not a mental thing. That is an inward spiritual thing. He said, you guys, now see, they got the Holy Spirit in them. This is a spirit-filled church. And he prays for them that they get a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. Most Christians think they have what they ain't got. And then what they do have, they don't even know it and talk like they don't. Hallelujah. I'm not knocking you. You know, we want to grow up. Hallelujah. But he prayed for them. This is what I'm praying for you. I'll tell you what, this is what I pray for you. I pray God to give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that God gives Ed Gibson a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. This is what we need going on. I'm going to tell you, the life will be brought back in the church. This is one of the things that I noticed when I came into the kingdom in a charismatic renewal. The word was being pushed forward, and the word was being pushed forward. And I tell you, God was moving. And I watched in the 90s, the word started fading back, and men's ideas and the promotions of men and patting each other on the back and big ministry, this whole big thing. But they backed off. Many of them backed off from the word. They backed away. The word became worth less because, you know, well, now we've arrived. See, we're getting some. We're getting it. No, but we backed it. Look, the demonstration and manifestation, God does not come along and verify what you say. He verifies the word. If you're moving in line with the word, that's a good thing. Then God can uphold what you say. But he doesn't uphold just because men say things. There's that revelation. And see, he prayed for them that they needed a spirit of revelation. Look what he says. He said, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. I want you to understand this. That word understanding there, in fact, other translations translate it, the eyes of your heart. Or your spirit man. He didn't say your physical eyes reading these words in a letter. He said, he wants the eyes. In other words, there's spiritual understanding and there is mental understanding. He wants them to have a revelation in their spirits, something to take place in life. In other words, my spirit man can see things in the realm of the spirit, just like my physical eyes can see things in the natural realm. My spirit can see things. I've known many times that people say, you know, talk about things and they say, you know, may the Holy Ghost showed them. I've learned this a long time ago. Many times the Holy Spirit doesn't show me a certain thing. I get over in the spirit and I can see it myself in the realm of the spirit. I can see it. I can understand it. I know because I understand the spirit realm. I understand things of how it works. So there's some things I can see and I can touch into. Why? By my spirit. Just like your spirit touches it. Now just think about that. When Mike said about his granddaughter, she's touched over in something in the spirit. She touched, her eyes of her understanding had something that she had caught in the realm of the spirit and she brought it out. She didn't have to have the Holy Ghost reveal that to her. She was over and saw it in the Spirit. In her spirit, she could see it. That was as real to her as what Mike and them were looking at in the natural. That was just as real. Well, I'll tell you what she brought out was a revelation of God. Didn't that change things, Mike? All right. You want to change something in this nation? The church got to bring the revelation of God back. It's not doing it. The church as a whole is not bringing the revelation of God back. Somebody's got to bring the revelation of God back. Somebody's got to do it. Somebody has to come back and bring things back into order again, and they can only be brought into order by the Word of God. That's why we got to, if we're going to preach, we want to preach what the truth says. He said, why? He said, that's why. Your understanding or your heart can be enlightened. Why? So that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what are the riches of the glories of inheritance in the saints. So you can know this stuff. He's not talking about, this thing that you may know. That word know means have knowledge, awareness, and understanding of it. Many people can quote things that God wants to. I know people and they quote things about healing and can't get healed at all. They can't even get nothing from God. See, knowing it in your head ain't nothing. It's about the revelation on the inside. It's what's going on in you, on the inside. What's alive in you? Hallelujah. See, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Well, Christ is the Word of God, lest I heard. I'll tell you, it's having the Word of God in you. The Holy Spirit takes the Word and makes it alive, brings revelation. And that's what we need. You want to have revelation. And this is what He's talking about. He's praying for them. This is a prayer for something really spiritual. It will change things in the natural. But if you're not changed on the inside, who cares about the outside's going to go its own way? It don't matter. You can pray night and day all you want. But if something don't change on the inside, nothing changes on the outside. It's changing. He said these people need a revelation. Hallelujah. The riches of glory, the inheritance, God's inheritance in the saints. He says, and what's the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe? So the church knows the greatness of the power toward the believer, the greatness of the power. Think about the church world in general. Majority of the church world don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speak in other tongues, don't even believe you need it. A lot of the Spirit-filled churches don't even believe you need it today. They don't even think it's necessary. See, a lot of the church, they don't believe in the power of God. They don't believe in it. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is about the power of God. Your church don't need it. We don't need it anymore. No. We can just go out. We can pack our auditoriums filled with people. You know, doing, you know, preaching stuff out of the newspaper. You know, we can just do it, you know, just make people happy, whatever it is. Oh, I'll tell you what, they just, people like to come here. They get 20 minutes of sermon and then they're out the door and they don't ever get no revelation. Nobody's lives change. Lives don't change. They go home and live like they do and get divorced and everything else like everybody else. They go home and live their lives and nothing changes. And the preacher himself, he'll get divorced and leave his wife. And they'll just all, they can't keep make their families work. Their kids are hellions. They're just, and you go out around, you see all the nutty stuff going on. And people wonder, well, you know, I'll tell you what. Well, you know, it's not easy in this world. No, it's not easy when you're a Christian and live like the world. It'll never be easy. Hallelujah. It's good preaching nonetheless. But see why? When people move from the truth, the only power that we have to live is with the truth. That's the power to live. That's the power to live, is walking in the light of the truth of the Word of God. He said, now this according, what was this power? This power was according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. He said, look, He said, this power He's talking about, He's talking about the resurrection power of God. The power that took a dead spirit who died with our sin, turned it into a living spirit with the life of God, and then took that, raised Him from spiritual death to spiritual life, and seated Him in the heavenly places in Christ. So, Jesus Christ, this is what God did. It said, we as Christians, we believers, we're supposed to know this power. In other words, Christian. See, when Paul wrote to the church at Rome, and he told them, you know, that same Spirit raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Resurrection is something living in you. You know, when Jesus Christ returns, He's not going to return and have to give you power to be changed into a new body. Resurrection's already in you, just the church ain't got a clue about it. Well, when Jesus comes back, then He's going to have to do this. No, He's not. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead's in me. I don't need another one. Hallelujah. The one in here is good enough to turn me, my physical body, because it's already done it to my spirit. The same Holy Spirit that transformed my spirit, took it from a dead spirit and made it alive to God, is the same Spirit in me that is going to turn my body. The same one. It ain't a different one. It's the same one. It's already there. Resurrection's in us. We're not conscious. People don't have a revelation of it. We read these things from Scripture and say they're neat, but there's no revelation on it. So we don't live like we have resurrection. We live like we're trying to get it. We live like we're after something that we have. And Paul said, what you really need to have is a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Instead, we're trying to get power. We're asking for power when we have it, and we need a spirit of revelation, and we don't have it. And we're praying for the power. And God said, you don't need power, you need a revelation. You need to know something on the inside. Something needs to become real to us. Hallelujah. I don't know, I'm excited this morning. I'll tell you what, I've been meditating on this stuff, and it's done made me happy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I love it because this is the whole thing. This is what God has set to put in us. It's not something we're trying to get after or we're trying to arrive to. It's a place we're at. Hallelujah. Is the church don't know where we are. The most wonderful thing, and I used to love when I first came into the kingdom, is listening to those teachings and preachings and about this stuff. Oh, my words, to find out what God did for us. To me, that was the most exciting things. I mean, I'd go to bed at night and couldn't sleep. I mean, this stuff was just like to me, it was this stuff was running over inside of me. It was so good. And I remember Kenneth Hagin said, you read this thing in the Bible, it's almost like talking about superheroes. And almost, from your mind standpoint, you almost, could this be true? And I used to sit and think about it. Is this really true? Oh my God. And I get the Bible out and I go read it again and say, oh my, but it says it there. It says it there, you know. And I was really excited about it. And I noticed today, most Christians, and I'm not talking about you guys, but most Christians aren't excited about the Bible at all anymore. They won't even take one to church. They'll just put it on the screen and show scriptures up there. And I said, most people will go an entire, they'll never ever look at the Bible, never look at the Word of God and read it. They've taken the Bibles out of the church. People don't carry them. People don't read the Bible. No, I can get all, see, we're in this great informational society. Yeah. Full of the world, and the church is full of the world, and they're preaching their gospel. They're preaching the world's gospel. Now, He seated Jesus in heavenly places. Now look what He did. Where did He seat Him? Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that it's named. Not only in this age, but also in the age to come. I love that He said it because he defined it. He didn't say this is in the age to come. He said not only in this age. In other words, He bought this age sort of preaching it like, well, we should know it's for this one. The age you're living in now. He said, no, this is going to be in for the age to come too. In other words, Christ is seated above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name. That's where He was placed. That's what resurrection did. Now, let's look at that resurrection. Now, he makes that statement. And He says this. Now, what did He do to Him? Verse 22. He put all things under His feet, gave Him what? To be head over all things to the church. Now, He seated Him in that place. And he said he put all things, everything is under his feet, all things. It don't say some stuff, some is, some not. He's above all principality, power, and might, and dominion. Now he said, now he goes this, he is the head over all things to the church. It says what? Which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Who's the church? We're the fullness. Do you realize Jesus don't have a fullness without the church? The church is the fullness. The church is the fullness. He just got done telling what resurrection does, and he says, oh, the church is the fullness of it. The church is the fullness. The church is the fullness of it. The church is the fullness of the resurrection. The church is, not Jesus, the church. Oh, we believe Jesus can do anything. Oh, Jesus, he can do anything. Boy, I'll tell you, Jesus. What about you? Well, not me. Oh, no, it's not for us. In the sweet, you know, by and by, once I'm dead and done whining and crying here on the earth all the time, then I'll get to go to heaven and have a nice time there. He said the church. The church, we are Christ's body. And we are the fullness of Jesus Christ. See, he's talking about a revelation. He said they need to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. What? To know this. To know who they are. They said Jesus has been seated above all principality, power, and might, and dominion, in every name its name. And the church is the fullness of him. Well, where does that put the church? Where does that put the church? See, we need to walk in the light of these things. I want you to see something here. There's some other scriptures I'm going to read, but Paul wrote to Timothy, and Paul said to Timothy in the first Timothy, the sixth chapter, in verse 15. It's a break in here in scripture, but I want you to see something that's said about Jesus. It says, verse 15, which he, speaking of Jesus, will manifest in his own time, he who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Jesus Christ, he said, is the only potentate. Now, a potentate is just, you know, if that's a person who possesses great power. He's a sovereign, a monarch, or a king. Now, listen. Paul said that to Timothy that Jesus is the only one. There's only one. There's only one potentate. There's only one. Now, he's the King of kings and Lord of lords. Well, this king, or whatever this, you know, the King of kings, Jesus is, he's a king. Again, he's the sole and absolute, a king is a sole and absolute ruler of either country, nation, or kingdom, or whatever. That's what a king is. You see, we don't know anything about kings because we have elected officials. The kingdom of God has no elected officials. And you don't have a vote. You don't have a vote. And we don't know about that. The Bible talks about Jesus as the King of kings. He's the sovereign over everybody. He's the sovereign over... We don't have a say. Our say in the kingdom is only if he allows you to have a say. He's the only potentate. Now, I'm not going to leave you hanging there. But I want you to see something about this. Think about this. When we talk about the only potentate, he is the only potentate. He is the only sovereign. Now, if we go back and read again in Ephesians, the first chapter, again on verse 21, tells us what is the extent of this sovereignty, of this potentate. It is far above all principality, power, and might, and dominion, and every name that's named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. This is the extent of the rule of Jesus Christ. This is the extent of his rule. The extent of his rule. We need to do it in dealing with demonic powers and demons and whatever. We need to understand Jesus Christ has been raised far above. You know, I've always used to say this. People used to do this. They used to say, Right on the bottom of your shoe, the devil's under your feet. Well, I got a revelation of this, and I got a revelation of this, and it said Jesus is far above all principality, power, might, and dominion. He can't even see the bottom of my shoe. You're walking too close to the devil if he can read what's on your shoe. You're living close to sin. You're supposed to be walking in a place of authority far above all principality and power and might and dominion. That's the extent of the rulership. Now think of it, because when we read this, and it said it there. What? He put all things under his feet, gave him to be head over all things at church. He's the head. Now, where if the head's at, where's the body? Someplace else dealing with authority, you know? Are we severed from it? We got the floating head up in heaven. It's the floating head. There's this big head up there, and it just floats around. Okay, that's Jesus. No. The church is his body, is the fullness. The church is the fullness of this revelation, of this power, of this potentate, this sovereign who has shared this power. Dear Lord, this is, it's wild and crazy. Who would think that God would take somebody like you and me? Well, let's read this. Ephesians, the second chapter, starting the first verse. This is us. This was us. This was you and me. and he said, verse 1, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. What? You were dead in trespasses and sin. You were dead in it. In other words, you had spiritual death. That's what you were. Now that was the condition of you and me. When I came to Jesus, surely I was Mr. Spiritual Death. I mean, that's what I had. I mean, I had spiritual death. I didn't have no life in me. He said, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. In other words, he told them, this church, he said, you guys, you have the spirit of disobedience. In other words, you followed the devil. You were under the hand of the devil. Oh, we don't preach that today. You won't find out till you don't tell people, oh no, you're not a child of the devil. Everybody's basically good. You've just been taught wrong. False gospel. It's not the truth. You know, the Bible says the law is a schoolmaster to bring you to Christ. You know what the law does? Finds you guilty. That's what it does. The law was the judge to find men guilty of sin, so men would know they need a Savior. Oh, we don't never mention the law when it comes to, oh, we talk about grace. I'm going to tell you, that's why today so many people get saved without changed lives. Because they don't come to Christ because they need a changed life. They come because you're all right. You just need to come to Jesus. You don't need to see that you're a sinner or a bad guy. We're going to say that because you won't darken the door of our church if we tell you you're a rotten stinker. We ain't coming to your church. I want to go to a place that tells me I'm all right and want to live like hell. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a friendly church that is sinner friendly. Hallelujah. Okay. He said, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh. Man, I knew how to do that. I could live in the lust of my flesh. I knew how to do that. I was good at it. Hallelujah. He said, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And were by nature children of wrath. Gee, Paul's not really giving a positive message here. I think he's messed up here. Somebody needs to tell Paul about this. He says, just as the others. Now look, in other words, condition. This was our condition. This was the condition that everybody is in, and people need to know that. If people don't come to the knowledge of they're in that condition, they will never come to Christ by faith. Wow, they have no need for Christ. If you're all right, you have no need for Christ. You don't need salvation. You're okay. You're all right. I'm going to tell you, one thing is I came to the point, I can tell you, I came to the point of knowing that I need Christ. I knew that I need. I knew my condition. The Holy Spirit revealed to me my condition. That's what He'll do. He revealed your condition. I needed a change in my condition. Now, he said, this is what happened. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. In other words, when you got saved, this you were dead in trespasses and sin. And you believed on Jesus and confessed Jesus. And he said, he made us alive together with Christ. Did you notice he said you made you alive together with Christ? Not separated from, you're here and he's someplace else. Now, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. The condition. See, this is what everybody has to come to the knowledge of their condition. But through faith, just look at that rotten condition that we were in. But through faith in Christ, God takes us from that rotten situation, makes us alive together with Christ, and puts us on the seat of authority with the one who has all authority in heaven and earth, the only potentate. He didn't say he set you on a throne beside him, did he? He didn't set you a throne down at his feet somewhere or someplace. See, the church's position of authority as right on the throne in this earth, the church has authority over all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named. See, if the church doesn't live in this revelation, this is why we have in our nation going on today what goes on in America. Hey, we voted Christians into office and it didn't even help. Why? Because the church lost the revelation of who they are. And they rely on their skill and their ideas and their thinking of how we deal with things, while the devil runs rampant and takes good men and turns them into bad guys. Because his power is never checked. You know, I don't care who they are. How many Christians run for office ever deal with here, what's the problem with our nation? No, they always give you one of their political ideas or one of those what we need to do to change this nation. It's never the fact of the reason we're in the condition we are is the devil's running our country. Do they ever talk that? Do you ever hear that? No. I don't care. We can vote any guy we want into office, and as long as the devil gets to run and do what he does, those good guys will get nothing done. Even though they have good ideas, they have good things, and good, it won't happen. Hasn't it happened? You know, oh, my words, we got to get these conservatives in there. And so we turn around. And now they run the House and the Senate, and it has worked out wonderfully, hasn't it? Just been great how well it worked. It wasn't that their policies were bad. It's about who's in charge, and the people in charge aren't taking in charge. They let the devil run it. The devil's been running the show, and the devil will keep running the show till the church stands and says, no more, devil. You ain't dominating in this nation anymore. We're going to dominate in this nation. And we're not talking about us going around dominating people. I'm going to tell you, if we can bring the devil to a halt, we'll bring a lot of things to a halt. There's a lot of things will come to a halt when the church takes its place of authority and looks over this earth. The problem with America is the devils that are operating and running and allowed to operate and run in this nation while the church sits by and watches and says, boy, we wish we could get somebody in charge. Well, the church is in charge. But the church is not using its authority. It's not sitting in that place of authority. It's not seeing itself. We're asking God to do things that God has already done. Let me just tell you just a thing that happened this week, and it just blew my mind to listen to a guy who he said he was a Christian. So I'm taking him that he is. He probably is. But I was out doing running around. I turned the radio on, and there was a popular talk show on the radio. And a guy had called. This guy called in, and this is the part that I heard. A guy had called in, and he called in, and he said to the guy who runs the show. He made a remark, and I don't know what the thing was, but one of the political candidates had said something about abortion, and he made mention, and the guy felt that he made a critical remark about the women who were having abortions. And this is what this guy said. He said he's a Christian. I'm a conservative. I'm a Christian. Number one, he's probably not a conservative, and he's a lousy Christian because of what he said. Because this is one thing that I know. He preaches the world's gospel. This is the gospel that he believes. Here's what he said. He made a remark. He said, the guy that made this remark, and he made a negative remark against the women having one. He said, a person who is a true, one of these people who believes in life, you know. In other words, pro-life. He said a true pro-lifer. Now this is what he said, a true pro-life. He said never criticizes the women that have abortions because they're not doing anything wrong. The bad people are the people who do the abortions. Now I want you to think. Now think about this. He said they're not bad. See what they do. God looks at them and they haven't done anything wrong. It's the people that do them. And I just said, and I thought this. I thought, well, you know, what if I wanted to kill somebody? And so what I do is this. I go hire a guy and say, would you please kill so-and-so and I'll give you $20,000. And he goes, kills him. And the guy gets caught at it and says, well, he paid me to do it. And the cops say, no, he's not guilty of anything. See, you're the one that did it. He wasn't guilty of nothing. Now, I want to tell you what. If those women don't come to the knowledge of sin, that they have what they've done is wrong. The gospel is number one. I thought, this is what pro-life is? Well, I know all pro-lifers don't believe. But I thought, this guy here, he's preaching the world's gospel. We don't want anybody to feel guilty. I'm going to tell you what. You don't feel guilty, you ain't ever getting saved. You got to come to find that you need Jesus. Most people need Jesus for this. They need more money. They need a better house. They need a better this. That's what coming to Jesus has become about in the church world. It's coming to Jesus to have a better life. And then you do that by getting the government to give you more things. But this guy said, he said, oh, that's a truth. So we know that he's not pro-life. This is what pro-life does. Pro-life tells the women that they're okay, that you can have abortions and it don't matter. The bad people are the people that do them. And I thought, man, we're in a messed up world. This is what the church is preaching. See, this is where the seeker-friendly, this is where it came to. We don't want anybody to feel uncomfortable. This is how we reach people. You're okay. See, you're doing evil. It's okay. It's all right. God loves you. You can do evil. It's not your fault. You're bad. Paul didn't write that cute little letter there, did he? Wasn't that a cutie? What you were. Well, this I know. This guy never listens to that. He never reads those. He probably has himself a little fellowship thing he reads in the morning. You know, it says all kind of nice little positive things that even when he's ugly, he's good. He said that's the pro. You're a pro-life person. I thought, well, then I ain't a pro-life person. I'm not one of those because I don't believe like his pro-life. I believe we need to teach people that they're doing wrong. How are you going to change this nation if nobody's doing wrong? What's the point of the gospel? What is the point of it? Folks, these are the crazy things that are going on out here today. I'm totally convinced of this. Most Christians, and even spirit-filled Christians, do not listen at all what they say they believe and taught. They say things that are insane. And it's never matched to the gospel. It's never matched to the Bible, to the truth of the Word of God. See, we can't believe weird things like that and say, you know what, I'll tell you what, I'm going to have authority over the devil and tell people they can follow him. You can yield to the devil, you'll be all right. That's not why we seat in heavenly places far above all principality, power, and might, and dominion to come up with some flaky gospel like that. I thought, the guy he's criticizing about, I don't know if the guy's pro-life or what. I don't know what he is, but I know this. He is better off than what that guy is believing. Because he's an unsaved man. He's better off. Because that guy there, I don't know what he's going to lead people to, but I'll tell you what, I believe he could be one of those guys when Jesus returns says, go away from me, I don't even know you. And he's going to say, but look what all I did in your name. Yeah, you did it for you, and you used my name, but that wasn't my gospel. That wasn't what I preach. You see, if we're going to use the name of Jesus, it would be good to use his word. It would be good to follow the scriptures. Hallelujah. But I want you to, because as we go on in this teaching, I want you to see the place that God has set us in Christ Jesus, the place that he put us. I want you to get this revelation of what and who you are. Now think about it. This place of authority that you were put in, you didn't have to arrive at some place of great spiritual growth to be seated in that place. You didn't have to come to some place of huge, great knowledge. Think about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul's a guy out killing Christians, and goes from killing Christians to caught up to heaven and gets this revelation. It was new to him too. And he come and preached this thing. And he wrote it in letters, and we get it. And what we could say, a baby Christian got this revelation and took that revelation and pumped it out there for us. So we would know our place or position of authority. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings, the only potentate. We are seated in the same seat, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. We have allowed the devil to do too much. We have allowed him to do too much to us. We've allowed him to do things to us we should never be allowing him to do. He hassles us, tries to give us depression, lies to us, cheats on us, does all kinds of things to mess our lives up, and Christians just yield to it. Well, you just got problems. You're just here in the earth, and then, you know, we expect bad days. I'm going to tell you, sometimes bad days come, but we shouldn't be making plans for them. Hallelujah. We don't take our place of authority. You know, there's sometimes that I have, you know, it's like I say, if I wake up in the morning and I feel in any ways down, I know the devil's involved because I'm a happy guy in the mornings. I'm a happy morning. And if I ain't happy in the morning, it ain't like it to not be happy in the morning. I mean, I can have a load of problems, still wake up happy. That's just the way I am. I just wake up and I like morning. And if I'm waking up not liking morning, devil, we ain't going to this place. In the name of Jesus, this stops right here and right now. We ain't going there. People accept it. Oh, just run down the doctor. They'll go and take their little depressing spirit along with them and down and get both of them some medication. You know? Yeah, well, yeah, thank you, but what could you give me for the devil here? What could he be taking? Maybe he'd take something, he'd let me alone. Instead of, devil, you ain't doing this to me anymore. You ain't driving me with fear anymore. You're not going to do this stuff to me. I'm not going to allow it. I'm not going to stand for this stuff. I'm far above all principality and power and might and dominion in every name that's named. You must bow in the name of Jesus. You don't have a choice. Treat him like who he is. We treat him like an equal. We treat him like somebody who's allowed to hang around us. He's like, you know, he's like the little dog who just keeps going along and getting around your feet and tripping you up and act like we have to put up with it. And nobody will kick the dog. I tell you, you need to kick the dog. You need to kick the dog. Hallelujah. Or he won't stop. Now the animal rights people will probably be sending me letters. I don't know. I'll tell you, I could kick a bunch of them. Hallelujah. Dear God. But we're living under things, and we got all this stuff going on. Well, you know, we can get over there and preach on that stuff. I mean, people today, they love their animals more than they love people. People go off to hell, and Christians are hanging on their animals like they're little gods. You know, we ought to knock this junk off. We ought to get things right. Hey, I like animals. But I'm going to tell you, they never supersede people. And Christians are false gospels, false junk, believing. And then talking about, you know, I want God to bless my life. God can't bless your life when you're walking in the world and walking in the love of the world and the love of the things of the world. You know, God told us, you know, in the beginning, the animal life was put under the submission of men, and today it dominates men. And so the devil works through animals, and he does, and rules people through their little demonic animals. Someday you got to throw the devil out of your animals. Oh, yeah. They'll try to get in anything. If they can influence you, I mean, the Bible, the devil's wanted to go into pigs, and he did. You think your animals are something that wouldn't happen? I'll tell you, people have unnatural affections toward animals. I've watched many of it. It's not natural. I know what it is. It's demonic. Unnatural affections. It's not good. But we accept everything. It's what the world calls love. And the church buys it. I'll tell you, let's throw it out. Let's take our place of authority. We're going to talk more about this authority because what the church takes us. You know, if we really realize the church took its position and we ended up with a president called Ronald Reagan. But we need to understand something. The church was walking in a place of superiority during those times periods. The church was walking in a place of superiority. It wasn't letting the devil run the nation. The church had a voice. Today the church don't have a voice. The church says the same words the world says. It believes the same things. It's open to all the trash just like the world is. It doesn't distinguish itself with the word of God. Why? Because we'll be criticized. They will persecute me. Get over it. The Bible says this. If you're going to live godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to suffer persecution. Kenneth Hagin used to say this all the time. If you're not being persecuted, it's because you're not living godly. Ooh, I guess that wasn't a positive message either. He knew how to step on toes. I knew how to say many times, ouch, ooh, that got me. Ooh, ah. Hallelujah. You see, you're going to suffer. When you stand up and you say what's right, but you know what happens in this day and age? We have let the world control so much that Christians are afraid to stand up because they don't have the spine to stand up because they can't take anybody saying anything or criticizing or talking against what they say. If somebody don't agree with me. Well, I told them about Jesus and they made fun of me. Man, I'm glad people told me about Jesus and didn't care what I said because I wasn't cute to Christians. I'm going to tell you this. Thank God there's people had backbone. Somebody had backbone. They said stuff. Somebody said things. Hallelujah. In spite of what Ed thought or Ed did, thank God I wouldn't be a Christian today had Christians hid. Thank God they didn't hide. Glory to God. We're seated in that place today, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name its name. That's where we're at. I want you to think about that this morning. Let's stand to our feet. I want to think about or what you might be dealing, the things that you're dealing with in your life. Paul said this, I pray that you get a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. It's like I said from the beginning, this is something all that we need in the church. Christians need a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. To finding out that place of authority where we sit today. That place. I mean, just think about it. We're here naturally and our physical body is sitting in this earth. But spiritually, God says that your authority is in the same range as the only potentate and King of Kings. Oh my God. You say, well, that sort of, I can't grasp that with your mind. That's good. If you could grasp it with your mind, it would probably be a little thought. It's not to be grasped with the mind. It's to be understood on the inside. This is my place. This is the place where I stand today of the authority that I have in the earth. That all the demonic forces and all the things that are going on, the demonic forces are doing in this world today and in this nation, I'm seated far above all principality, power, might, dominion, every name that's named, all of it. I'm seated above it. Far. It doesn't say, well, you just got one, he's just a seat below you. Far. You're like up there, you know, you went into a stadium and you're up there in painted heaven. And that the devil's down there running around the field getting run over. Hallelujah. We're far above. Is seeing yourself. Do you see yourself from that light? So you need a revelation. Your heart needs a revelation of where you sit and where the devil's seated. You know, God tried to bring me that revelation as a young Christian. Because I had in my home, because of being involved in sorcery and doing things that caused spirits to manifest. In our home, we had that. We had devils would show up. And don't you believe these shows where they tell you, oh, you know, people show up, they, you know, ghosts, they see these people? I'll tell you who those people are. They're demons that manifest themselves as people. I had them in my house. I know. I was involved in that stuff. Granny ain't coming back to talk to you. Forget it. If Granny went to heaven, she's in heaven, and you're down here, you got enough, you know, down here, you know. In Jesus, just like Jesus told him, said, you had Moses and the prophets. You got it. You had enough. You don't need Granny coming back talking to you. You don't need that. They're demons, and we had demons in manifest. So I got saved. Now, you know the first thing them demons started doing? Started making Wanda and the kids sick. And I knew it. This thing wasn't natural. I mean, they got sick and they couldn't get better. Nobody got better. They just stayed sick. Everybody stayed sick. Like today, most Christians, they wouldn't even think, most 90% of spirit-filled Christians would never think a devil is even involved in sickness. You know, it's just some natural thing, you know. Well, the flu just goes around, you know, and that natural human thinking. We don't know the devil's involved. The devil was involved in it. I didn't know what to do about it. I just got born again. I ain't been born again, not even a month. I mean, in probably a couple of weeks. I'm at H.B. Reese Candy Company, up working on a hot oven making Kit Kat wafers. Standing up there and that oven's running, you know, you got an oven running and you got about 500 degrees out on the front of that thing and you're standing up above there. And I'm standing up there and the whole time I'm thinking, well, Lord, what about my family? What's going on here? And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. Now, God talks. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. I'd go in churches all over Lebanon today and said, God talks. They would probably shut me down immediately. You know, God don't talk. The Lord said to me, you need to go home and throw the devil out of your house. And I remember saying to him, well, that sounds good. How do you do that? I didn't know. I just got born again. I didn't know what you did with the devil. And all of a sudden, a couple of scriptures came to me that I had read. These scriptures came. So at lunchtime, I went down and went to the locker room and got the Bible out, and the Lord showed me some things in the Bible. Now, I was going to be Mr. Tough Guy. You know, I had to go home and throw the devil out of my house. I'll never forget. But the 321 Canal Street, parked the car out in front of the house, walked up the door and opened the door. And I tell you, when I opened that door, there I could not see him with my eyes. But there was a power emanated out of that house, a demon spirit. Now, I'll tell you what, Ed Gibson wanted to run. That's the first, I'm going to tell you, that power literally, I could feel it emanating out of the house, just like pushing out. Man, every nerve in my body was like, now, I didn't get real spiritual because I was real spiritual. I was a baby Christian. But, you know, I'm just obeying God's word. And this is why I say you got to obey God's word. This is why many people never experience the power of God, because they're walking in their beliefs instead of the Bible. I'm following what the Scripture says, just doing the best I can as a young Christian. And all of a sudden, in me, a power rose up, and I became the Lion of the tribe of Judah. I'm serious. Well, don't let that seem strange to you. I'm seated in heavenly places with Jesus, far above all principality. About time the church becomes a lion of the tribe of Judah instead of keep being a little old pussycat all the time. I'll tell you, we need more lions. And I'll tell you, it rose up in me, and that anger. Man, all of a sudden, Ed changed on the front porch of the house. I'm standing on the front porch, and all of a sudden, I'm mad and the devil's getting out of my house. Now, none of it was natural because this thing came on me, and it was just like, whoa! And I'll never forget. I just walked in and said, devil, get out of here in the name of Jesus! And I just walked through the house. I never really thought about it or talked to Wanda about it, what she might have thought that when I did. Because I just, it's like, man, all of a sudden, I'm a tough guy. Well, I wasn't at that front door. I wasn't the tough guy. Man, in front of that door. See, that's why we need the power of God. But we're acting on the Word of God. God gave me a revelation of what to do to deal with that. And you know what? I went in and did that, and Wanda and the kids got well. I mean, Wanda's mom just came to our house and went inside the house one day and walked in the door and just got sick and threw up just coming in our door. I mean, the devil's in there making people sick. Now, I know if we'd have went to the doctor, they'd have said it's flu. Well, that's like a doctor can only tell you what he knows. Sometimes that ain't much. But folks, those are the things that we're dealing with. The devil's doing stuff out here. The devil's, today there's all kind of demonic, Christians are involved in all kind of demonic things. They don't see themselves as doing it. They don't see themselves as that. But the Christians have yielded to a lot of things that ain't good. Reading and watching a lot of things they shouldn't be watching and reading and dealing with stuff they shouldn't be doing. Why? Because there's spirits involved with it. Spirits involved with things. And you have to know that. You've got to become sensitive to it. See, we're seated far above all principality, power, and might. I want you to think about whatever you're dealing with, the problems you're dealing with, and what you're going to... Seeing yourself in the position. See, this is why with healing, or whatever it is, like divine healing. See, nobody would ever convince me that God don't want a Christian well. They'll never convince me that God makes somebody sick. Just by this revelation alone, I know this, that if he wants me sick, he wants Jesus sick too. And if Jesus don't get sick, and I'm the only one it's supposed to, then we ain't sitting in the same spot, and we ain't in the same body, and I ain't attached to the same head. I know that. I know you got to preach false doctrine to say those things. You got to preach doctrines of devils to say the stuff that God's making people sick. And see, we need to get over that. This revelation, the revelation of where you seat will change everything about you. It'll change who you believe you are or who you thought you were. It'll change you. You'll quit asking God to do things and start walking in the authority you have. You'll walk in the authority you have according to the Word. God will back you up. The reason we haven't gotten backed up, people haven't gotten backed up in prayer, because we've gone to God like we're trying to get Him to do something He didn't want to do. We're not sure if He wants to. We're just trying. We're doing pleading. Instead of saying, God, hallelujah, I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Did you ever think about praying from that place? Did you ever think about praying from that place? Seated far above all principality, power, and might, and dominion? It'll take the whine out of your voice. And I'll tell you what, now this is what it'll do. It'll put the boldness of the Spirit in you, knowing God's going to move for you. That heaven is going to work on your behalf. That heaven's going to do exactly what heaven says it does. See, that's why this revelation was a common teaching when I come into the kingdom. It was common stuff, but it's uncommon today. It's uncommon teaching. Paul taught it like it was a foundational truth, like you got to get this. If you don't get this, you ain't going to get the rest of it. Hallelujah. I believe Paul was right. Glory to God. I just want to encourage you guys, stand in the place of truth that the Bible says. If you're looking at what I'm saying today and say, man, silly, go listen to it again and again. Get your Bible out. Read the words that we read and read them and read them till they become real to you. I'm just going to tell you to do something. You might do a read through the Bible. You know, some people a yearly read through the Bible. You would do much better to take certain sections of the Bible and just meditate on them. Like start in the New Testament and read the letters in the New Testament and sit and take sections and meditate on them. I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot of things that are said in the Old Testament, but I'm going to tell you what, the New Testament was written to Ed Gibson in the church. And the letters were written specifically to Ed Gibson of who and what he is. And I'll take these, it's just like these things. I'm preparing for a sermon. All I've done is just meditated and meditated on what the Scripture said. I don't go sit down and try to figure out what I need to say. I'll meditate and the Holy Ghost will tell me things I ought to be saying. Well, He brings revelation and what He wants you to know and what He wants you to do. And that's what you need. You need to hear and revelation come to you. Sit down and take Scriptures and meditate on them long enough till they speak to you. See, just general reading, lots of times we ain't getting hardly anything of revelation. Meditation brings those out. I remember Mike talking back some time ago about he was taking stuff and meditating on it, what it did for him. You need to know, you'd go over and take them. There's nothing about reading through the Bible, but if you're going to just do that and not to meditate, you're wasting your time. You're going to know a lot of stories and not don't even know them well. You need a revelation. You know, I was a kid and heard all about David and all that David did. And when I turned around and got saved and started reading about David, I found out David was a totally different man than the stories I heard as a kid. Hallelujah. I found out I could be a David. They never told us that in Sunday school. You know, he did that. And he just was this nice guy called by God. And I found out I was in the church of Jesus Christ. I was in a better spot than he was. Hallelujah. He wasn't far above all principality, power, might, and dominion in every name it's named. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, God has a church of champions, and we keep looking in the Bible trying to find champions. Dear God, the church is the champions of God. Glory to God. You're God's champions. Hallelujah. Go look in the mirror at that champion when you get home. Go look in the mirror. Say, my God, this is the God that's seated in heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion. I'm seated in Christ Jesus with the only potentate. Glory to God, the only one. And I'm seated with Him. Hallelujah. Father, I want to thank You. Father, I just pray for each one today for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Father God, to quicken these things back to the church. And Lord God, I ask You to forgive us in the church, Lord God, that we haven't emphasized these things more and more and brought these things back. Lord God, You're so patient with us. And Father God, we're teaching these things. Lord God, there's such wonderful truths and such glorious things. And Father God, they're far beyond what mind comprehends. But Lord God, our hearts hear it and our hearts love it and our hearts knows it's true. And Father God, I pray, Lord God, Lord, the eyes of their heart is being enlightened today. They know what the hope of the calling is. Oh, Lord God, Lord, and they know what your inheritance is in the saints. And Lord God, the revelation of Jesus Christ seated far above all principality and power and might and dominion in every name that's named, Lord God, that revelation is dawning in their hearts. Hallelujah. And Father God, they see themselves, hallelujah, as the fullness of Jesus Christ seated in heavenly places with Him, living in that resurrection victory that was won for us by Jesus Christ. What an inheritance. What an inheritance. Far above all principality and power. Lord God, thank you. Thank you for refreshing us again with these things. Thank you for bringing them back to us again. Breathing that life back on us again. Hallelujah. Lord God, we're taking that place today. Father, we're taking that place. We're taking the place that you've given us. We're standing against these demonic powers. In the name of Jesus, devil, I speak to you in the name of Jesus, and I tell you in Jesus' name, you get your hands off the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I command you in Jesus' name to bow, and you will not torment. You will not dominate and rule the church in these last days. Our mouth will never be hushed. Our mouth is going to go forth and speak the glories of God. Hallelujah. And we bind the demonic powers that have operated against the church of Jesus Christ. We stand against the demons that have tried to corner the office of the presidency of the United States. And we stand against you demon powers, and we command you to bow in the name of Jesus and release the president's office in Jesus' name. We command you to get your hands off the House and the Senate of the United States and off the Supreme Court. Devil and your demons, we bind your operation. You will not rule and reign in this nation. We command you to cease and desist in your acts. We command you to get your hands off the military of our nation. Get your hands off the leadership of the military. We command you to bow in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We command you, devil, you get your hands off the finances of America. We command you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to get your hands off our financial system. We command you to bow, and we bind you from your operations. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you must bow. And Father, we thank you. Father, we're going to continue. We're going to continue to walk in the light of the truth of the Word of God. We're going to continue to stand. Father God, revelation is going to go forth in this nation. Revelation is going to be carried forth in the name of Jesus. And it will flow like a water, like a river. Hallelujah. In this nation, the revelation of heaven will come forth. Hallelujah. And men will pick it up and run with it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. This nation and many will come back and walk in victory again. Hallelujah, and walk in the place, Lord God, that you have called the church. I thank you there's a rising up. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father God, that the line of the tribe of Judah is rising up in America. Hallelujah. I thank you there's a voice that's going out clear, a people who are not afraid. Hallelujah. A people who are bold as lions. Glory to God. And Father, we thank you for it. Devil, you've been put on call. Hallelujah. You can't hide from the Word of God. You can't hide. Hallelujah. Oh, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Hallelujah. And you can't hide from the Word of God. And we know your place of authority is far beyond the place that we sit with the great only potentate, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Hallelujah. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak healing over bodies in this place right now, here today. In the name of Jesus, this is the church of Jesus Christ. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that resurrection power is working in bodies right now, here this morning, on each one, quickening on the inside of each one, bringing a healing and a cure to the body. Hallelujah. Bodies are recovering in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, devil, I command you to get your voice closed to the mind of believers. I command you to cease and desist in any torment of bringing fearful thoughts or ideas of torment or confusion. In the name of Jesus, I bind your operation. This is the church of Jesus Christ. You're not allowed to do that. We are not going to put up with your shenanigans anymore. Hallelujah. We see you and know what you're trying to do, and you can't get away with it, because in the name of Jesus Christ, you are bound. The Word of God says, whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever we loose on earth, we loose. We loose in this place today a sound mind. We loose a sound mind in here. We loose a sound thoughts in the name of Jesus. We loose healing and wellness and wholeness and soundness in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And we bind anything that would torment. We bind it. We're not going to allow it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 This is the church of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. These are the people that are seated in heavenly places. These are the people. Hallelujah, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God, for Lord God bringing that revelation fresh back to us today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. If you can't live in a victorious week without that, well, I'll tell you what, I don't know what we're going to do for you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lord bless you. And have a glorious week.